from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's get Titus in here, 916.
Hey, one half of the Real Brothers of Sacramento. Let's go.
Man, what's up with y'all? In the process of me being on hold, my vibe off because I just had to break up a fight at one of them free phone situations.
That'd be easy out there.
Let me just get this off and then let me see what y'all got for me. I wanted to say, man, I'm glad D-Lo back off the top because I know he going to make y'all respect the segment. The 356 slot, that's total disrespect.
No, that was Jesse. I didn't go sign that. I didn't say that.
No, your buddy did. We ain't going to say his name, though. They don't
Jesse did.
Calls when I call in the morning. But D-Lo back, though. So we good? Okay, what's up to Luis, though? But anyway, now what the hell did Javier do? Because I remember he did something, and I don't want to do what he did.
Just look, all right, well, look, I'm going to tell you, don't mock the host. And that's all you got to do. Just say what you got to say, and you good. We let everybody get their point across. Just don't mock the host. Just say what you got to say.
You can make fun of me. Yeah. Just don't disrespect me.
There's that.
Okay. That's what happened. All right. But y'all got to respect the segment, though. But now, this is what I wanted to say, though. Quit baby and Harrison Barnes. He's gone. He's a bum.
Come on, Titus.
But I'm just serious. Tell the insiders, quit trying to insert Herter into the starting lineup all of a sudden. Let's stop doing this. We're going to mess up the locker room, y'all. We're going to have turmoil in there. We're going to have a bum thinking he's supposed to start.
He's not a bum.
Let's go with the best five for your position. Let's go with the best five. Now, I respect them on the over on the 45.5. We definitely going to get that.
We'll talk about that.
And I had one last question. Hey, when Sacramento come out here, when the A's come out here, is they going to do Sacramento or no? Is it still going to be Oakland or what?
To be honest with you, Titus, I don't think anybody knows. We talked a little bit about this with Jake here. When was Jake? Jake was here on Friday. And basically the whole thing was like, they're still working things out with the presentation, with the field, with all this other stuff. Nothing's official yet. They're still working through stuff. So I think initially they said they were just going to be called the A's. They're just going to be called the A's. There's no city, no Oakland A's or Sacramento, nothing, just the A's. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go through with that, if they're going to be Las Vegas or whatever. So Titus, to that point, we don't know yet.
That's just going to look wild on the schedule. The New York Yankees at the A's.
At the A's.
Well, the Angels, were they? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at one point?
Yeah, they were out of control for that one. That was just stupid. They still are, actually. They still are the Los Angeles Angels
of Anaheim. The Oakland A's of Sacramento by way of Vegas?
I like that. Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt.
I can't have that dude on the TV, man. So I'm switching the channel.
It's all good.
Cannot have that Ocho dude on the TV. Also, man, we are not calling Harrison Barnes a bum. That's crazy talk. And Kevin Herter's not a bum either.
Do you like real quick with the Harrison?
Mm-hmm.
I think Kyle mentioned it. He might have mentioned it when you were on the show, but I thought he mentioned it on Monday. We talked about it a little bit more. And I like this idea. Not that Harrison is a bum at all. That's not what we're saying. But do you think the Kings outgrew Harrison's role? Like, Harrison was the leader in the locker room, you know, the senator, all this other stuff. You can kind of look past the fact that he was just like hit or miss on the court because he was one of those guys that you look to for leadership. And now we're at a point where De'Aaron's been in the league 7-8 years. He's 25, 26 years old. Sabonis is older now too. And now it's not just about establishing your organization as something that's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, we're trying to climb and win games.
Mm-hmm.
And no disrespect to Harrison, but did the Kings kind of outgrow the fact that they could look past, they need to upgrade at that spot?
I hadn't thought about it like that, but yeah, sure. I always wonder though, like, did we put him in that role, or was he actually in that role?
I think he earned that role just because of the level of respect and reverence people have for Harrison Barnes. Like, they respect.
Yeah, that's a part of it. But as you like laid out too, like, he, you know, to paraphrase CM Punk in AEW, he worked with a bunch of effing children too.
Very
and
true.
he had to be the steady hand in that locker room where you would kind of look at this team and you are like, De'Aaron, and you know, we just laugh sometimes looking back at like De'Aaron looked like a child when he got here. Like, all right, and you got this Marvin and Harry and you got all of these different things going on, then you got Harrison. Well, you know, Harrison is steady there. Mm-hmm. Was that actually his role? Or is that what we perceived his role to be?
But did we joke that they would always throw Harrison out there? Or was it like really, like,
oh, no, that
always
happened.
Throw Harrison?
No, that happened.
Like,
team loses by 60. Here comes Harrison Barnes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They throw Harrison out there. And I don't know if he asked for that role. I don't know if
it was. He's made remarks in the past that made it clear he did not ask for that.
Right, right. And I don't even know if it was like a defined, like, people, like, we'll always lean back on Harrison. It was what it was, right? Like, you needed a tough loss. Let's go get Harrison.
Because
we know Harrison's going to be professional. We know he's going to, you know, answer accordingly or do whatever the case may be. And it's something that I feel like he just kind of fell into because of the human being that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point now, even though we, you know, had the little moment last year for a couple weeks where we didn't, whatever happened.
Couple months. It was a shoot 41 games.
Yeah, well, it's like, all right, well, now we're kind of past that. De'Aaron's going to step up. Malik's going to step up. Mm-hmm. DeRozan's here now. You know, he'll step up. Sabonis, if you ask him, he'll talk, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, Keegan is probably growing up a little bit to the point where, you know, you may hear a little bit more from him.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't want to make it like Harrison was like just a nothing and that's the only reason he was around. But his inconsistency with how he played, you kind of put up with it because like you kind of need this guy here around. Now, as much as we like him and we want him to be around, we can't wait anymore. We have to upgrade from this position. And I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I think it's I think we overcomplicate things sometimes when we look at this. And what you just said, the last thing you just said, is really what it all boils down to. They had the ability to upgrade their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make things with contracts work. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why San Antonio was so important to this process. Like, San Antonio had room to take Harrison Barnes's contract, not just for this year, but for the years ahead. And Sacramento maybe had to sweeten that deal because maybe it's not exactly what San Antonio was looking for, but they know that they have room. Like, it didn't handcuff San Antonio from doing anything moving forward. They knew that they could do it. But I really do like, I like the idea of, I think it's a strong thought that the Kings kind of outgrew what he offered. And that's fun conversation when you're analyzing trades and signings and movement within an organization. But really, in its simplest form, it's what you said at the end. They needed to upgrade. And we always knew, you know, the second he signed that deal last year, Harrison was probably going to be a piece, which is, by the way, is a testament to Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a piece that's used to upgrade this roster.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Huerter could be a piece that maybe upgrades the roster in the sense that they find someone in more of a position of need than Huerter might be. But I asked this at the end of the regular season and wonder if it's, you know, Kevin Huerter, he's coming off an injury. And, you know, shooting arm or not, he is coming off an injury. And I think there's a little bit of, okay, let's wait and see.
I will.
Because Kevin's a good shooter. Like, is you know, frustrating moments that there have been last year. Like, Kevin Huerter's a good shooter. Yeah,
he's a good shooter. You got to respect him. If you're on another team, you're not just going to leave him open and let him cook. And, like, there's a certain level of gravity that he brings out to space on the floor and things of that nature. I will say this with Titus. I wouldn't say it the way he said it, but I do agree that I'm not interested in Kevin Huerter starting. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't hear the insider say it. I think I caught a little bit of them saying that, but I didn't hear it. But on Friday, Frank Redd was on here talking about if Herter's on the squad, you may have to, like, you have to think about starting him at the two guard. And his thought was, he's an emotional dude. If you're going to have him and you feel like you're going to try to use him, you don't want to lose him. You may lose him mentally if you just have him on the bench. So give him the first 10, 12 games of the season to see if he can find his groove and see what it looks like with him starting at the two guard spot. I disagreed with it, but I understand the logic.
I disagree with that too.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I no.
You can't do that. And not that's a – that's a year one. De'Aaron's in his third year. That's that type of move. Like, hey, we're trying to figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. No, Kevin, this is what it boils down to is, what do you think the best role for Kevin Huerter is? And when I say you, I mean Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. In this organization, what's the best role for Kevin Huerter? Well, we think the best move is we're going to start, and this will be a discussion. We're going to start Malik Monk, right? And we're going to figure out how to work Keon in here. And we believe Kevin Huerter can supply a lot of offense off the bench. Great. That's his role. If that is what you see him being most successful at, thus helping the Kings be most successful, that's what you have to do. And the difference between the Kings and some other organizations, and I feel like Kevin has to look at it this way if he's on this team when the season starts, is Malik just did it. Mm-hmm. Malik did it for 2 years. He came off the bench and he was everything we needed off the bench. Now we need him in the starting lineup. And we're going to figure out a way to work Keon. We have a way. I'm going to tell you. We have a way to work Keon into this. Mm-hmm. You're a part of it. You're not going to be DNP'd. You're going to play. Keon's going to play. And we believe this is going to be, you're going to be that instant offense role that Malik was last year. Mm-hmm. And you're still going to play a lot with DeMar. You're still going to play a lot with De'Aaron. You're still going to play a lot with Domont. You lay all of that stuff out. And there's enough evidence in Mike Brown's 2 years to show that guys off the bench can play. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's not going to be, he's not JaVale McGee. With all due respect, he's not Alex Lynn. He's not guys that are going to go weeks and Colby Jones, Chris Duarte. He's not guys that are going to go weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks without playing. Mm-hmm. He's going to play. He's going to play every night. It just has to be conveyed as you have a new role on this team.
And that's where you've got to get him to buy into that. And I'm not sure he's at a position where he's willing to buy into
that. And so that's where if you can't, then you don't play. Because we can't look, if you look, you're not all in, it's fine. We'll sit you in that 14th you know, 15th spot on the bench. And I don't mean that to be like a jerk. I just mean we need to win games.
Right.
We can't miss the playoffs. Keon's in. Malik is in. DeMar signed here, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. Everybody on this roster is all in. If you're not, it's all right. We'll try to figure something out, but please understand, I can't play you. Mm. If you don't see this working, I can't play you.
Do you think that all this needs to take place, like, now?
Yep.
And if you don't figure it out, like, if you don't come to that understanding now, that, all right, we need to make sure this doesn't linger to training camp, and we got to figure out something else. I think Herter should, like, look at a situation where if you're not a starter, being a contributor any way you can, because it's only going to help you with this team. It's going to help the team. It's going to help your stock as an NBA player and all this other stuff. I don't think anything else is really going to help you out.
Hmm. Come back. We could talk more about that. You said Frank Redd. That reminds me. I had a short interaction with Frank on social media, and it was about Devin Carter. Mm. I think we can clear up a couple of things regarding Devin Carter and his injury.
Okay.
And really what the Sacramento Kings knew and didn't know, mm-hmm. Going into that announcement that was made last week. So we'll have that up ahead for you. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Great to be back here with my man KC, with Jesse. Great to be back with the Chatty House, brought to you by Matthews Mattress. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com. Find one of the 10 locations nearest you. And know that if you grab a mattress that's in stock today, it will be in your bedroom tonight. Mm. You'll be sleeping on that brand new mattress. They got free same day delivery. Let them know, no matter what location you go to, it doesn't matter which one. Let them know you're part of the Chatty House. That will go a very long way.
Yeah, it's a good look.
a very, very long way. Did you, well, this is going to sound stupid because we talked about this before the show, and this is some of our KSFM content. I know you haven't gotten the chance to listen to the entire Eminem Death of Slim Shady album.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I strongly encourage you to.
Mm.
It's really, really good. And the little intricacies in the album, I thought it was really interesting. I actually got excited for the album for the first time on Thursday when M tweeted or posted or whatever about listening to the album the way it was created. And you know, that's kind of a rule of mine when I first hear an album is I listen to it from beginning to end. I don't skip, I don't skim, I just hit play and let it ride, especially with the artist the caliber of Eminem.
Right.
But I thought it was really interesting that he posted that, and that got me really excited for what the album was going to be. I'm admittedly not a fan of that Slim Shady character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of that voice, and I'm not a fan of most of those records that have that cadence and that character mm-hmm. attached to it. Mm-hmm. This album, for what he was trying to accomplish, was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I thought the recovery album is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
This is up there though with like the Marshall Mathers LP.
Mm.
Like it doesn't have I Am on it, doesn't have Stan on it, but the complete body of work and the little tiny details he put in it, I thought were amazing.
Mm.
And listening to it the first time, he gets to that song, I think it's called Temporary. It's the one everyone was talking about on social media because it has, you know, like tapes of Haley when she was like 6 years old or something in it.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking to her from the perspective of he just died, and this is his message to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really emotional record. It's phenomenal, and you kind of feel like, okay, it's not the last song. That's a weird spot for this. So he hits that record. There's like three tracks after. I think there's three songs and a skit.
Mm.
I didn't realize till this morning how important that skit was. So the record, the concept of the record ends with that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the track with Big Sean and Babytron. That's after Temporary. There's another song.
The song is fire, too.
It's incredible, right?
The song is fire.
There's two songs where it's M or Marshall or however you want to phrase it. It's not Slim Shady.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard the skit for a second time today, and I realized, now this is going to go over some people's head. The skit is Tony Clifton. Tony Clifton is a character that Andy Kaufman played.
Mm.
Everybody knew it was Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
But when Andy died, Tony Clifton kept making appearances.
Mm.
And Tony Clifton has this like, he's like just this gross, like, he's a stereotypical like Vegas comedian with a just take my wife. It's like that silly sound to it.
Yeah.
When he does that Guess Who's Back interlude, he's saying things that Marshall Mathers, that Slim Shady would say with a Tony Clifton cadence.
Mm.
And that's how he brings in the final song with Jelly Roll. And it didn't dawn on me until I heard it a second time this morning how phenomenal that was.
Mm.
Because he died with the Temporary song.
Mm-hmm.
Then he did two songs as Eminem, acknowledging that he's back with the Tony Clifton skit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final track with Jelly Roll, which is another phenomenal, it's an incredible song that Jelly Roll plays a terrific role in. He's rapping from the perspective of he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not to overdo it. It is a brilliant piece of art. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Like, and I can't say I was like really hyped for the album. I was curious. Pardon the pun, he murdered it. Like, mm-hmm. it was so good.
Man, I definitely got to check it out. I mean, I was telling you earlier, like when you talk about critiquing an album or did you like it or whatever the case may be. I mean, Eminem, like I said, one of the greatest people to ever rap, to ever put words together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm biased towards guys like him, towards Kendrick, Jay, you know, all these guys, because I'm just never going to be like, oh, that was whack. Like, because I just think they're too good at what they to me, they never, ever putting out anything low quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect a high quality piece of art, piece of music from Eminem. Like I said, I want to go back and listen to the whole album now. But I heard a handful of songs and he's rapping crazy. You know, the beats are on point. Like, it's just, like I said, I'm just a bad critic. I'm also like a person that is just, you just got to sit with the music a little bit over time or whatever the case may be, because there may be things that I look back and say, you know, I like this, but then I haven't really been moved to try to listen to it again in I don't know how long, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's, I just let it sit for a little while, but I definitely want to check out the whole album. It's Eminem.
That's Eminem. I was thinking about that this morning because I wanted to make this a part of our KSFM show. And it's like listening to this album. Some albums are like watching a TV show. You could check in. Like, I could watch any episode of The Office and be fine. It doesn't matter. I could watch any episode of, you know, it's been popping up on like Instagram. The Cosby Show.
Oh.
The Cosby Show needs to be on TV.
Cosby Show's a... Look,
Malcolm Jamal Warner ain't do nothing to nobody.
Hear me out. You guys understand what I'm saying? That is a phenomenal show.
It's so good.
Is perfect.
It actually, I came across the clip. There was an interaction between Claire and Vanessa. That was just, it was... It made me go look. It was like, where is it?
Did he write the show too, Bill Cosby?
Some of them, yeah. A lot of them.
Like I said, we can all be adults here. Like, that, it's just, it's perfectly written. The comedic timing, even the cutaways, like when somebody does something and they cut to the person who's not saying anything. Mm-hmm. Like, usually it's Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I've watched it a couple times.
I saw another one where it was Claire and, the son-in-law,
Alvin. Yeah, Alvin.
And you know, Alvin was always putting his foot in his mouth. And she goes, "Can I get you guys something to drink?" And he goes, "You're gonna get us something to drink?" And she goes, "Yes. Well, why wouldn't I?" Well, you just don't strike me as someone who would do that. Strike me as someone who would do what? And again, like, I understand, but Dr. Huxtable sits down and he starts doing the.
The side reactions are always perfect, man.
All while Alvin is burying himself. It's like, and I legit started searching. I was like, this has to be somewhere. I could buy it somewhere. You can't.
Oh,
you
can't, man. Anything. They perfected the side reaction. Like, it's so good. They just did it perfect.
So
but
good.
To your point, though, like,
you could check in and watch it whenever, yeah. Right? And understand it. This album feels like a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, popping in, it's not going to have the full experience.
Mm-hmm.
I always looked at Ready to Die as a movie, right? But I can appreciate Big Papa or Juicy. I can listen to that singular. I don't know, as you were talking about, sitting with an album, and time will tell if I can just pop in and hear. Mm-hmm. Like, Renaissance is the first song on the album, and it sets the tone for the entire album. What he's rapping about in Renaissance is so important to the way that the rest of the album plays out, because he even has a line in there about the Kendrick album was incredible, but it didn't have any bangers.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how hip hop fans don't even love hip hop anymore. They just complain. They just complain. They look to critique and hate what artists put out. And then you have a crop of young artists coming along who kind of revamp the sound a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the old guys just hate on it. And no one truly appreciates hip hop anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That is the whole first album, or the whole first song of the album. And then it lays out an album that I read Run Review on Hip Hop DX, where I just read it. It was like, I don't know if this is a child that wrote this or not, but he clearly didn't understand the concept of the album. He didn't. He's, oh, it was just all for shock value. Yes. On Guilty Conscience 2, instead of Eminem and Dr. Dre, or Slim Shady and Dr. Dre, it's Slim Shady and Marshall Mathers. And he's literally saying that to him. Why did you stop saying this about Christopher Reeves? Because he's dead and it's in bad taste. And it's like this inner argument between the two, in which every critique I've read about the album is in that singular song. And I just walked away like, you hoes don't even listen. You are exactly what he was talking about in Renaissance.
Now, to be fair, maybe people just don't want to hear that. That doesn't mean like it's whack or they don't understand. Maybe they just don't want to hear it.
It's okay if you don't want to hear it, but don't say he's doing something for shock value when he's stating the reason he's killing off the character is because the shock value isn't there anymore. That's how I looked at, particularly Guilty Conscience too, because that's another important song to the.
I thought about you yesterday because, Without Me was on. I don't know why I heard it, but I heard it, and I didn't really like that song when it came out. I don't really like it now. And you've talked about how you don't like it, and I compared it to, My Name Is, and I don't want to. You said you didn't really like My Name Is either. My Name Is phenomenal. It is.
I appreciate the record. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't play it.
Because I understand why you don't like Without Me. I don't like Without Me either. Like, I don't like the song. But My Name Is, My Name Is, the introduction to him on the scene and how, and this, you talk about setting the tone. It set the tone pretty much for his career. Like, you're going to get Eminem saying whatever, rapping a certain way. Because I end up listening to My Name Is after that song because I thought about, you know, that Slim Shady character. I was like, nah, I love My Name Is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I appreciate what the record is and the impact that it had and how important it is. You talk about telling stories, how important that song is to telling his story. I just don't like the song. Yeah. I don't like that character.
Slim Shady is Without Me. And then what's the other song he had? Then you have another Slim Shady-like song. It's
he's got a million of them. Just Lose It is a Slim Shady record. The Real Slim Shady is a little mix of both. Those are like TRL Eminem records where he's like a TRL monster.
Yeah, like just a little bad kid.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
I'm gonna check out. I might check out the album as I'm up all night playing NCAA football.
Well, there you go. There you go. I think you'll enjoy it. I really do. I think you'll like the album.
I know I will. It's him. It's too good.
You mentioned Frank Red, and I had a brief exchange with Frank after news of Devin Carter's surgery broke. And that's another one. We kind of had that one. And so that's why when Shams tweeted, I was like, well, it's out there. We've already heard the 6 to 8 month timeline. We had heard that. We'd really heard that from jump. We knew something was wrong. And Monty had talked a little bit. They knew there was an injury. They had publicly talked about the injury. They just didn't talk about to what extent. But Frank and someone else were having... I don't know if Frank tagged me and then someone responded to... Or not tagged me. I think Frank might have responded to that 6 to 8 month post that I put up. And then someone responded to Frank. And that was kind of the point where I was like, okay, let me chime in here. Because the thought was, well, why didn't the Kings know about this? The Kings did know. Like, the Kings knew he was injured. I don't think I'm overstating this. I think everybody knew.
Everybody. You want to point to the reason why he
Yeah.
Went from top 5 to 13.
Like,
that's got a lot to do with it.
I don't know what he's discussed on the insider, so I don't want to put too much. Like, James had this a while ago from way outside Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And when he brought it to me, I took it somewhere else. We got it like triple confirmed. I was like, all right. Well, maybe the evaluation was wrong because the Kings hadn't announced anything. And then, of course, the Shams tweet goes out and it was like, well, I think this timeline we got was spot on. And then the Kings announced the timeline that we had was spot on. Mm-hmm. And but the point was they knew. Mm-hmm. They knew when they drafted him. And then it caused me, there was something Monty said in his press conference that I think was that night. It stood out to me, but I didn't think anything of it in the moment. But I thought a lot more about it that day. Was he was like, you don't draft for right now. You draft for the future. When you take the best player available, you draft the guy that you think is going to be able to help your franchise moving forward. And I think a lot of us hear that and you think, yeah, they're drafting a guy that they believe is going to work for them in the long term. No, he meant right now. I'm not drafting this guy for right now because he's going to have shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
But he'll be ready for us, hopefully, later on in the year. But we've learned, obviously, now that he's going to be out for at least until the start of the calendar year.
Yeah. And you know, he still may help out this year. You know what I mean? I've laid out the sure. timeline potentially of like a almost like a trade deadline acquisition, you know, around that time where, you know, he gets to play. I don't know if we'll see the true Devin Carter this season because, you know, it's just a wonky start to his NBA career. He's not even really getting an off season to work on stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't get his NBA legs under him at all.
Right, right. So, you know, I don't think we'll see everything that he has to offer until probably year two, but he can still, you know, still some minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, with late in the season and things of that nature. I look at this situation with Monty drafting him at 13, and I understand it. While at the time, I wanted him to make a move. I wanted Kuzma and some of the other people we heard. I understand it in the aspect of I don't know if there's anybody in this draft that was going to help you this year. I think there are a bunch of projects, and there are a bunch of guys who weren't going to come in. I shouldn't say help you, but like drastically. Impact what you're doing because I didn't think there were any starters in there. Don't Connect might have been the closest and he might be able to do something, but other than that, but all these guys are projects, so why not, like, don't be scared off by Devin Carter because he's just one in a long line of guys who I think are projects and wouldn't be drastically impacting your roster this season.
And knowing the way that the roster was shaking out, I mean, you had already signed Malik at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You had your eye on DeRozan. Like, I think I don't know that there was a starter for this group mm-hmm. out there, especially at 13. Not even Dalton, but mm-hmm. that could, I mean, I don't know where you, I don't even know where he would start.
Yeah, maybe at the three. Maybe,
who's
but
he
would have been coming off the bench. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you do. It's DeMar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so now you got Malik and Keon coming off the bench. Like, that's a tough, that's tough, but maybe you're right.
Do you, yeah, now that we're, dust is kind of settled with a DeMar DeRozan deal done, I think before, you know, we all left and before the deal went down, I was pretty convinced that while it wasn't like, hey, all these deals are done, choose which one you want to go with, Monty. Mm-hmm. I did believe, even on draft night, he knew I'm getting a deal done. Like mm-hmm. there are frameworks and there are places that I can go to get a deal done that I can do necessarily what I want to do on this draft. Like I can get a Devin Carter, who we know he has a bad shoulder. He might not help us that much this year, but that I can do that because I've got a trade in place. Do you think that's accurate now, looking back?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I think they had something drafted. I've never been able to get an answer. Mm-hmm. I feel like they had a trade close to the finish line on draft day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it was for Kyle Kuzma. And I don't know what changed that. I don't know if Washington got thirsty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Devin Carter fell and they liked it. Or if none of this is true and they didn't have a trade lined up. There was so much noise around a trade on draft day. Like, in front of the scenes and behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And it's not like just make-believe chatter. Like, there was noise. That for it just to not go anywhere, I thought something happened. Mm. As far as the other trades, I think they were all in on Lauri Markkanen. Hmm. And I think Brandon Ingram is a figment of our imagination.
Mm. Mm.
I think we see Brandon Ingram as a fit. We see Brandon Ingram's contract status. We know how the league works. And we think there's something there in Sacramento. Not discounting what Sean Cunningham wrote at all. Sean Cunningham said there was that the Kings were had interest in Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. I believe that to be true, but I believe that interest was twofold.
Hmm.
And I think everything that the Kings were trying to do was leading back to the Lauri Markkanen deal.
Mm. So you think that was number one on their list? If you just had to guess, like
yes.
That was what they were trying to
yes.
do first.
Yes. Mm. And honestly, I mean, I think Markkanen was number one. Mm. I honestly think DeMar was number two.
Mm.
Mm. And I don't know where Kuz is on that deal or on that list, mm-hmm. but I think Brandon Ingram's a lot lower than we think.
Mm.
And there's probably multiple reasons for it, but right. I think Ingram is a lot lower on a fictitious wish list than we think.
There's
or originally thought, I should say.
There's something that I mentioned throughout the week last week when it comes to DeMar DeRozan and he had his press conference, and you know there's just
shout out to DeMar for the hoodie and the vest.
It was the hottest day of the year. Big ups to him. I mean, but when you're rich like DeMar and D'Lo, you don't have to step outside.
D'Angelo Russell?
No, Damian Barley.
Again, Google A M.
Don't play the Google game, bro.
It's right here. I could share the screen. Kyle looked it up.
Don't
right
listen
here.
To this guy, man. Don't
okay.
listen to him.
Just all right. No, I mean, those who are watching can see it.
I'm trying to help you out, pal, to be honest.
like I said, I got the text messages, bro. I got the text messages.
No, you don't. You still
that's not even a shirt that I have, and it's not even necessarily where I got it from.
Button up this $950.
When Do you see me wearing that? No.
When you say that's not necessarily where I got it from, talking about the website, you know, like we just are safe to assume you got it from the owner or something.
No, that's not true at all.
Everyone else gets it from the website.
It's not true. That's not true. Just don't listen to this guy. Anyway, DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, there's Kenny's shirt right there.
$10,000.
That's great. It's a nice shirt, though. I like what they bring to the table. I really
apparently.
Do. I do. I like what they bring to the table. But there was something out that I keep thinking about when I think about the Kings and DeMar DeRozan. And I want to know what you got to say about it.
Okay. That is a tease, folks. We will find out what Kenny is talking about when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Want to get back to that thought you had, Casey, just before the break, but want to talk to my man, TC. 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. Hey, just tapping in with the homie D'Lo, man. How was your trip, brother?
It was good, man. I enjoyed it. Hated being away from you guys, man, but enjoyed the time away. Very happy to be back.
Yeah, one love, man. I sent Kenny a text, man. I meant to send that same one to you, man. You understand? That's how I truly feel about you dudes, man. I appreciate y'all, bro, for sure.
My Kenny dog, didn't man. Even relay
appreciate
the message,
you, man.
Man. It's a whole world. Instead, he's reading fictitious text messages
on the
air that aren't even real.
It was a real one. I got it right here.
Hey, you know how many times I heard from Casey while I was on break?
How many?
Two?
None.
Two times?
None.
Two times.
None.
Two times I text you, and that's
none.
The response that
didn't
I got.
Hear from this dude once.
I figured you were tired of hearing from me.
Hey, but D-Lo and KC though, not getting at the Kings fans or no, but what other, like, what is everybody, and I can't say everybody, but a lot of this fan base is like split. A lot of people are excited, and then you got some that's like, what's the move? Bro, the move was DeRozan. Like, what else are we asking for? Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting that part, Kenny. I don't know, y'all explain that.
Nah, it was funny when the DeMar stuff broke. It was really exciting that night. And then I think by the next day, it was like, all right, what else? And I don't think that's a Kings fan thing. I think that's just a sports fan thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you can talk yourself up and down mm-hmm. on a signing or a draft pick for days, weeks, months. Like, we don't have a basketball game. We don't have a meaningful basketball game to be played for like 5 months, for 4 more months.
We don't even have a schedule.
Yeah, we're going to talk about DeMar DeRozan. We're going to talk about how else the Sacramento Kings need to fill in this roster. We're going to talk about positions of need, rebounding, rim protection. We're going to talk about wing defense. We're going to talk about all of that stuff. Again, you could talk yourself up and down on these picks or signings all day, and that it really was like 24 hours before – you know, all of those fun, really excited about DeMar DeRozan texts turned into, okay, what is Kuzma still a thing? Is Ingram still a thing? And it's just the nature of being a fan. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Nah, ain't nothing wrong with it at all. And I guess I'm on the spectrum of being high on the whole thing, because I said numerous times last week, I want to know, there's two things that I want to get your thoughts on. This wasn't what I was going to tease, but I'll ask it anyway. I said, as is, with DeMar DeRozan there, no other moves made yet. I said, this is the floor for this team, if they're healthy, is 52 wins. Mm. A lot of people thought I was bugging. A lot of people thought I was doing a little too much.
DraftKings said 45 and a half.
DraftKings is smoking. And I don't mean that in a good way. Mm. All right, they tripping on that. But, or no. Do whatever you want, DraftKings. I need to go back to Maryland and place a bet. That's what I need to do. I'm going over. Over big time. I'm betting all of D-Lo's money that they're going over. That's for sure.
Let's take a chunk into that marble floor and go to Maryland.
Oh, man. Oh. That.
You'll get a cut.
What can we get with that? What can we get with that? We can get.
Might be able to buy the sports book.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Matter of fact, they probably report us.
You get half of the sports book.
If we took that money from half of that marble floor, just a tile, not the whole thing, just half of the tile, and we said, yo, we want to place this money on whatever, they report us. They'd be like, nah, this is, you guys doing too much. What's this, drug money?
No,
they probably say something crazy.
You guys, Jonte Porter?
Thank you.
No one believes you when you guys do this.
Well,
and the fact that
it's true.
You're in on this is ridiculous.
I'm a neutral party. I help you out sometimes. I help him out.
But I think this is a 52 win team, and you can, I'm kind of like being a little stubborn with the whole thing, because thought about it a little bit, maybe it's more like 50, right? Like, maybe I think it's a 50 win team. I put it exactly at 50, but I said 52. I stood on business. I'm not gonna go back now, so I'm gonna say 52, and I think that's what this team is as is. That's before they add anything, if they add anything more. And we got to the point last week where I was like, I don't really know if they need to add much. Like, I won't say need, but like when people are talking about, oh, they might still look at Lauri Markkanen, they might still look at Kyle Kuzma. I don't know if those are the type of pieces they need to add anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking more at these super role players like a Finney Smith or Cam Johnson is kind of he teeters back and forth between a super role player and a guy like Kyle Kuzma. I'm looking more like those guys, not like the super scoring type of player.
I'd be surprised if they still had inquiries about Kyle Kuzma. Mm-hmm. I think initially there was, they obviously like him. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably financial things with him that they need to. There's some hurdles there that they'll have to get over.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think with Kyle Kuzma, he's probably a move because of the number of years he has on his contract. He's probably a move that you, if you make a move that has money attached, like in a third year when you're starting to get into De'Aaron Fox money, big De'Aaron Fox money, mm-hmm. you're starting to get into Keegan Murray rookie contract extension territory, you have to ask yourself, is Kyle Kuzma the one that makes us a contender? Hmm. And I'm using Kyle Kuzma as the example. Find a player who has 3 years or 4 years on their deal, or who you have to add 3 or 4 years on the deal. So that could throw Brandon Ingram into this as well. Is that the player that makes us a championship contender? Hmm. I think there's a lot of unclearable hurdles in the way of the Brandon Ingram thing. Kyle Kuzma, I don't know if they feel that way, especially now after signing DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you in the sense that, like, I think, yeah, sure. 50 to 52, sure.
Yeah.
I think this team has solidified themselves as a top six team. Mm-hmm. I think, man, there was a group text that I got caught up on a little late, but it was about the Rockets, mm-hmm. and our man Kamara, and I God damn, sports fans love hope. they real, like, sports fans just love sight unseen. It's like, okay, yeah, there was a little something there with Houston. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I'm sorry, we got Houston as a top six team? We got Houston as a top eight team? Mm. I just, someone explain to me how and why.
I feel like Houston missed an opportunity this offseason. We heard all that. Like, oh, yeah, they're building up for KD or building up for a big move.
And yeah, they were building up for something that wasn't there.
Yeah, they didn't capitalize on it.
It was the Knicks with LeBron in 2010. Like, what? But there's nothing there for you.
I saw them out just a little bit with this summer. They're building up. For it doesn't have to be this summer. Like, they're building up to be ready probably next summer, maybe the trade deadline or something like that. And I get that. I think it was, from everything that I heard, I don't know, maybe Houston was thinking that on their own, but it was never, like, it was never real. You know, when you hear, like, the KDs
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, maybe.
Right.
And I don't even know.
That's what I'm saying. They were building for something that wasn't there.
But I was about to say, I don't even know if they necessarily used that type of wording. I don't know how the reporting got there.
It's not what Woj said.
Well, Woj has been shaky at best.
Woj went rogue.
Been shaky at best. But I could see them, even if let's just say for argument's sake, they were building up because they wanted to make an offer for KD. And Phoenix was like, we're not trading him. Matter of fact, it should be tweeted out as much. We're not trading him. It's not interesting. All right, cool. We'll just keep all these assets for the next guy that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's this guy always comes up, but like Carl Anthony Towns or
he really does.
Anthony Davis or something up. Like that. Like we'll be ready when the time comes. And I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. Especially when you're not necessarily going to win big this year. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you're going to be bad, but you're not going to win big this year. Part of that group text we talked about, like, people high up on Houston, and I think Houston has a lot of talent. I mean, we can't forget what it was this past year. They had to win, like, 10 games in a row to get to a point where they could finish five back of the 10th spot. Like, they were a middling team for the majority of this year. And to think that they'll go from being a middling team with all those young guys to a team that's going to be top six, I just got to see it. I'm not saying it's mm-hmm. impossible.
No, I'm with
you.
I
just got to see it. That's all it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's why it's just fascinating. We just love hope. Sports fans love hope. And that's all Houston is like this projection that they're going to be. Like, I think there's this thought, like, Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet are like these super young guys who are going to develop even further. Mm-hmm. It's not a knock on either one of them. We know who they are. Mm-hmm. We know exactly who they are. Is that going to change?
I don't think so. Good ball players.
Like, no, I mean, again, ball players. I think there are good ball players there who have taken on the identity, not trying to make a joke, of their head coach. Mm-hmm. Their identity prior to his little, prior to that, he had established.
Charles Barkley, he is no role model.
No, he's, no one should follow his lead. Nobody. But, yeah, I'm just not as sold on them as everyone else. No.
The other thing that I did want to get your thoughts on about, just what I was thinking. I you know, we hear about DeMar DeRozan, and on the surface, I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I got my concerns about offensively how it would fit and all this other stuff, but nah, that'd be good. That'd be okay. And then it becomes more of a reality, and you dive into it a little bit more, and you dive into the basketball aspect of it. You think about it a little bit more. Maybe you even sell yourself on it, right? I don't think that's what I'm doing, but I could be the case. And I'm like, nah, this is actually going to work out a lot. Like, I like the move a lot. It works out a lot more than I thought. And then for me, I just start to listen to DeMar DeRozan speak a little bit more. I see some other interviews. I see the way he speaks about the game and being a professional athlete and just winning. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot more sense. And then you got the introductory press conference. You hear him, and you hear little things that matter to people in our industry that maybe fans or anybody just overlook about how he gave each TV media member like almost an hour, like each one. And they all rate, they're like, this doesn't happen. Like, this is amazing. He sat down with Matt George. He sat down with Jay Gay, and he sat.
I think
down
he gave him a total of an hour.
Well, yeah, that's what. Did I say each one?
That would have been amazing.
a total of just.
It's Monday. DeMar DeRozan still doing interviews with Sacramento Kings media
with Complex Music's Sean Cunningham or whatever.
Hey, shout out Sean Cunningham. Yeah, I saw that, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.